I could tell you a really gross story so that you don't feel really hungry. Or I could bring in a bunch of food and fill you up, way too much salt and sugar, and then you won't be hungry either. But it'll only satisfy you for a short period of time too, right? But isn't that what we do in lots of life? We just want to satisfy something for a short period of time. So we go through this renewal series. We're talking about being renewed deep within our spirits, God meeting us powerfully. And it's not just for a short period of time. Being renewed from the inside out, not just meeting our physical needs, but meeting our core needs, our identity, who we really are. Meeting God as who He really is. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we gave out bookmarks several weeks ago when we started this series. There was quite a few left, so if you don't have one yet, they should be kicking around somewhere. Grab hold of one of those. Hopefully by the end of the series, we all have 2 Chronicles 7:14 memorized. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Lord Jesus, as we come to you this morning, explore this word seek, this phrase seek my face. We do. We recognize at some point we need more of you to know who you are, experience you personally and powerfully. And it takes some intentionality on our part to seek you, seek your face. Would you meet us this morning by the power of your Spirit? Would you continue to meet us and lead us and teach us? I pray in your name. Amen. I want to look at just this phrase this morning. Seek my face. We'll look at seek and then my or God's face, not mine. That, ooh, hideous. No. And then look at some of the obstacles to seeking God's face. What hinders us? What prevents us? That there's a reward to this seeking. We actually can find. We can know Him, experience Him. There's a reward to seeking God's face. And then back around to the seek, there is an investment of effort. It's a responding to God's initiative that this command is. Seek my face. So first with a seek, right? Many, most of us, how many have ever played hide and seek? Lots of us. I mean, I prefer sardines. That's where one person goes and finds, and then all the others are seeking to find them. And when you find that person, you hide with them. We had some great games. The first Bible school I went to down in Ontario, Bleck, down in Whitby, about three stories, and girls' floor, guys' floor, and then classroom. So in basement was where the cafeteria and whatever else was. Only 32 students in this building, probably, I forget what the maximum capacity was, right around 70. So it was about half full. We had some great nights of sardines in that building. You could hide. I like hiding in a spot where we could logically hide about 5 or 6 people. And then after that, it gets easier and easier to find us because we're spilling out. What a hoot. And just to be fine, that seeking, looking for them, whatever else. You've experienced some of that. We had a care group going up in Linden once we got our boys. They were obviously a lot younger and smaller then. And we would play sardines often with our care group because we all had young children at the time. We'd play in the church. The church is a great place for sardines. Maybe not on Sunday mornings, but maybe one day we'll do that. We'll surprise you. We'll just pick somebody yet, and we'll just... but it draws us together, and that's that looking for, right? People think of places where you've never imagined that they could hide in the church. So we get what seeking is. It's this intentional pushing out and looking. But it's looking for something. We're going to watch a brief video here in a minute. We've already been singing about it. But what are you really seeking this morning? Really? Seeking, intentionally looking for. Just have that in mind as we look at this brief silly video. Reward. A couple of minutes of video. But were you thinking as well at the same time? I saw several smiles across the audience. A silly little video, but it's got it all in there. It's got seeking. Doesn't have seeking my face. or God's face. There's obstacles, things to go around, under, through. Pushing through those, there's reward. I don't know if you noticed. Little bits of food all along the way, not just the reward at the end. And there was an investment. There was some time and energy spent getting from here to there. What are you really seeking? At any point, that little critter, hamster, could have crawled off on his own path. He didn't need to stay on that path. But there was a reward. There was something keeping him on that path, or her. Seek my face. Seeking God's face. John Piper said, seeking the Lord means seeking his presence. His presence is a common translation of the Hebrew word face. Literally, we seek his face. But this is a Hebraic way of having access to God. To be before his face is to be in his presence. In God's presence. You come seeking, you come anticipating meeting God here this morning, meeting him throughout the week. But we'd say, but aren't his children always in his presence? Well, yes and no. Yes in two senses. First sense, that God is omnipresent. Big fancy word, means he's everywhere all the time. He's always near everything and everyone. He holds everything in being. His power is every present, ever present, and sustaining and governing all things. So yes, in his presence. And second, yes, he is always present with his children in the sense of his covenant commitment to always stand by us and work for us, turn everything for our good. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, he says. And there is this sense which God's presence is not with us always. For this reason, the Bible repeatedly calls us to seek the Lord. Psalm 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. There's no holiday from it. Seek it. Continue on that path, that journey. God's manifest, conscious, trusted presence is not our constant experience. There are seasons when we become neglectful of God and give him no thought and do not put trust in him, and we find him unmanifested. It's not our current experience that he's an ever-present help. Though he is, that's not our experience. And sometimes he's unperceived as great and beautiful and valuable by the eyes of our hearts. We sung about it this morning. Open the eyes of our heart. Seek his face is to seek the brightness of his personal character. He's hidden behind the curtain of our own carnal, fallen natures and desires. This condition is always ready to overtake us. That is why we are told to seek his presence continually. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Dr. Charles Nichols, Chuck Nichols as I knew him, Dr. Chuck, was one of my professors at seminary. You can see his picture on the next slide. Incredible teacher. Learned a lot from this man. Very godly man. He was in his late 60s, I believe, still teaching full-time. Then after I graduated and left, he moved on and became the chancellor for a season. He got cancer. This is his picture from his obituary. Very godly man. You could talk to him whenever and just glean biblical truth from him. He very purposefully would get up in the morning and consciously, figuratively, put on the armor of God every morning. Very disciplined in it. Not too long before he passed away, he very disciplined in working out as well. I think he was a little shorter than me, a little broader, but he worked out regularly, bench pressing 240 pounds. Disciplined in every area of life. So now you completely know Dr. Chuck, right? No, of course you don't completely know him yet. You haven't even met him yet. But isn't that what we do with God sometimes? Hey, I learned something else new about him. That's neat. Okay, good. And now we mistakenly think now we know God and we're experiencing him more. Knowledge is a part of it, absolutely. But it's not everything. See, Dr. Chuck more than just taught classes in seminary. He would eat with the students every day at lunch so we could really get to know him a lot better as a person, a real man, not just in the role of teacher, whatever else, right? Some of you mostly have a relationship with me as I'm just the pastor. Some of us have a great friendship. Some of us, we prayed really meaningfully together with each other. It dramatically changes the relationship. And this seek my face, it's that face-to-face relationship that God says, know me intimately. Seek me up close and personal to really know me. Let's eat lunch together. Let's pray together. Let's really, really connect. God calls us to enjoy continual consciousness of his supreme greatness and beauty and worth. To be right there in his presence. This happens through seeking. Continual seeking. But what does it mean practically? How do we seek God? Both the Old and the New Testaments say it is a setting the mind and heart on God, right? We can't physically see him. When Jesus was present on the planet, people could physically see him and know him. Even then, the disciples wanted to touch him. We need to go that extra mile and seek him. Seek him. Set our minds and our hearts on God. It's a conscious focusing on our minds' attention and our heart's affection. Our mind's attention and our heart's affections on God. I found a couple of slides from a different presentation on the internet. Essentials of true worship. I'm not going to expand all of that, but I'll show you slides 1 and 3. True worship must include a heart devoted to God with deep affection. For God. It can't just be knowing about him, but a deep affection for. Come to know him. You might have heard me tear up a bit when I mentioned Dr. Chuck's obituary, that he's passed away. It's because I knew the man, had relationship with him. You find you have that kind of relationship with God? You miss him when you're not together? And not just about what he can give to you, but because you're in relationship with him, and there's a deep affection for God. Slide 3 says, true worship must result in our hearts being devoted to God with great affections for God. Because of the truth of God, our minds know to be true. Right? It's rooted and grounded in truth. We've talked about this before. Christianity isn't just made up religion to make us feel good. It's rooted and grounded in history and the person and work of God. And it's a heart and mind, and these are inseparable. Know him. See him face to face. Seek my face. We don't make this mental and emotional effort. Remember effort going through the maze? There's an effort to seek God because he is lost. I mean, that's why we would seek something we've misplaced. But God is not misplaced or lost. Nevertheless, there is always something through which or around which we must go to meet him consciously. There's obstacles. This going through or around is what seeking is. He is often hidden, veiled. We must go around obstacles. And there are endless obstacles, unfortunately, more than that poor little hamster had to go around and through. Endless, that we must get around in order to see him clearly and so that we can be in the light of his presence. We must flee spiritually dulling activities. That would be a huge obstacle to actually seeking my face and experiencing him up close and personal. Spiritually dulling activities. I think if we pause for a moment, we get what some of these are. We live in an age of a whole bunch of technology. I don't even have my phone on me this morning. It's at home, probably where it should be. But we can just turn on a TV or a computer or a phone, and we're just simply distracted. And we can justify it in 100,000 ways, right? On just this, just checking the scores. Oh, I just need some time to relax. I just. Some of it can be healthy, but is it robbing us of really seeking the Lord? Is it a spiritually dulling activity that's blocking our way? Is it an obstacle? We know, on the other hand, what makes us vitally sensitive to God's appearances in the world, to really seeing him, right? My years in Bible college, I know I keep telling stories like this. Several of you think I'm from Ontario because I tell so many stories. I did. I lived a significant several years in Ontario, but I'm Alberta, born and bred. But I had some very significant experiences. Doing street ministry every Friday during Bible college years made me spiritually aware in ways that I wouldn't have been. I was still taking the same theology classes and whatever else. There were some great late-night discussions that were spiritually vitalizing. But going out on the street with real people, wow, what are you up to in this person's life, God? What are you doing and how can I be a part of it? Always asking those questions. So we're aware, to some degree, what dulls us spiritually. But are we also, and I think we're aware when we pause, what also revitalizes us? What makes us spiritually sensitive to God's appearances in the world and in the Word? Consider what dulls us and blinds us and make us not even want to seek him, just distracted with the things of the world, seeking something else. Right? He says you can't love God and love money. So consumed with pursuing money or something else in this world, robbing us from seeking God, and really knowing him. And they move us away. God's calling his people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Humble and pray and seek my face. It's intentional. Another great obstacle, not only the things that distract us that we seek, but the root here. A great obstacle is pride. Psalm 10:4 says, in the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. Now, most of us wouldn't consciously think that there is no God, but practically we can live like it. We can be pursuing the things of this world so much. The end result of our lives and our daily-to-day experience is, hey, there's no God. Not until something really bad happens or something really that rocks us. Oh, and then we cry out, we seek God. This is a continual seeking of God. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Pride, right? Humble ourselves. Moves us in a direction. Pride prevents prayer. Pride also derails our seeking God's face. Practically living like there is no God. Just overwhelmed with anxieties and pursuing stuff, pursuing pleasure or safety or wealth or comfort or fame. Seeking many things, but not seeking God's face, his presence with us. two faces of pride and humility. Right? The first step is humble ourselves. Pride looks for mankind's wisdom. That's what they value. My best thinking. And does my will, not your will. Right? Well, I just want to do this. I just want to relax. I just want to, right? And a lot of those lead into spiritually dulling activities. And considering other people, being above or beneath, is comparing constantly and against each other, competing. Whereas with humility says it's about God's wisdom. He really knows. He really has the perspective I need. And not my will be done, but thy will be done. His will. And we can engage differently with each other, equally as ourselves. A right view of ourselves and a right view of others. And we tend to cooperate and have community. I learned this years ago. It's really stuck with me. When we share our strengths, we get competition. When we share our weaknesses, we get community. It takes humility. A humble lifestyle, right? That's one of the things, seeking God, where we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face. And they all fit together. They're not mutually exclusive, but they are different steps. We share our weaknesses when we're really known with each other, when we're that honest with God and with others, and we get a sense of community and supporting each other. The great obstacle to seeking the Lord is pride. The great promise to those who seek the Lord is that He will be found. 1 Chronicles 28:9. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve Him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. Remember heart and mind? For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, get distracted with the other things, give in to those obstacles, He will cast you off forever. Be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Continue on that path, seeking His face. Don't turn aside. Keep on that maze, little hamster. Seek Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. He calls all of us to do things, not maybe build the sanctuary, to do something, though. When He is found, there is great reward. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Rewards them in an ongoing way. That little hamster had a great picture. Those little food bits all along the way. Yes, there's a big reward at the end. But not only that, His presence with us constantly. Again, Psalm 105:4. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. He reveals Himself in His all sorts of ways. So seeking Him, how do we seek Him? Well, first and foremost, start with His Word. And this keeps coming up. But it's the primary way He's revealed the truth about Himself, the truth about us. And so we can seek Him through His Word. Seek Him. You're regular in that, or you justify why not to go to the Word and fill it with something else? What's those obstacles in your life specifically? And do we remember He rewards those who seek Him? He shows Himself to us in the evidences of grace in other people. How closely connected are you to other people? To hear and see the evidences of grace in their lives and sharing them, sharing how He's working in your life. so we can seek God through that. The heavens are telling the glory of God, so we can seek Him through that. In our Sunday school class, we're studying what's our God language, and they did the naturalist. Are they hearing from God, right? We can just gloat. Lots of people worship nature. Not everybody goes the next step and worships the God who created the natural, this beauty around us, the mountains and streams and everything else. We worship God Himself and we can hear Him. It cries out. It brings glory to God. Constantly setting our minds and hearts towards God in all of our experiences, to direct our minds and hearts toward Him through the means of His revelation. This is seeking God. And it takes a conscious effort to do this. Both Old and New Testament cover this. I'm just going to read a little bit. So David talks to his son Solomon, who's been commanded to build the temple. But he also does this in 1 Chronicles 22. David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon, his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And has He not given you peace on every side? For He has delivered the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and His people. Now set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God." It's harder to seek Him during a time of peace than it is a time of war. When we're in a really tough spot, it's way easier to seek the Lord. David understands this. He calls the leaders together and go, "Here's what my son's called to do. But you need to do this. Set your mind and your heart to seek the Lord your God. Arise, build the sanctuary of the Lord so that the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, the holy vessels of God, may be brought into the house built for the name of the Lord." For the name. This was going to be His dwelling place, or a symbol of it. We're His dwelling place. Do we understand the reward there is in seeking Him, His presence, seeking His face, constantly abiding with Him as He abides with us? But is that our current experience? Or are we distracted with obstacles, whatever else? Colossians, New Testament. If you have been raised with Christ, if you're a Christian, if you put your faith in Him at some time in your life, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Can it be said any more plainly? Don't get distracted with the obstacles. Take hold, seek my face. Things of the world. We're either seeking them and they're becoming obstacles. They're hindering us from experiencing God. Or they can be an avenue. We can thank God for them. An avenue to really seeking Him and knowing Him. All of creation, all of revelation can be an opportunity. Right? We can even go to Scripture. That's how fallen we are. We can go to Scripture only seeking to be have more knowledge so that we can prove to others how knowledgeable we are. But Scripture says knowledge puffs up. Or we can go to Scripture really seeking to experience the risen Lord. Dramatically different. Lord, speak to me through your word. Are we seeking the Lord, His face? If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face. They get to and turn from their wicked ways next week. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. You understand the reward of seeking God. What are you seeking today? Is it something Scripture would call an obstacle? Is it proving to be that in your life? A hindrance? Or is it the Lord really seeking His face and His presence? Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, It takes intentional effort to stay on the narrow way, to follow where you lead. I pray you would help each of us set aside the things that are obstacles, hindrances. Reveal them to us clearly. Help us confess them, repent of them, turn from them. And then help us develop new habits that feed our soul, that we seek your face, your presence. We put off what is unhelpful. We put on what is helpful. God, you've initiated a relationship with us. You've made a way we can have a personal, growing relationship with you. It's our responsibility to respond. To continue on like the hamster, going through, up and around and over, never stopping, moving forward in faith and trust in you. To experience you up close and personal, to set our minds and our hearts in all of life, that we would experience your presence. Lord, lead us, humble us, cause us to be a people of prayer who intentionally seek you.